The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
This is Daryl Padgett, driver of the number 46 Wells Brothers Farms Ford, and you're listening to Joe Dirt and Billy on Dirt World.
No matter what, get out and see some dirt racing. Get some dirt on your face.
Get some dirt on your dog.
Yeah, dirt on your dog.
Absolutely. With Billy the Kid, my name is Joe Dirt, Dirt World on RealRacingUSA.com.
And it is time for Joe Dirt and Billy the Kid and Dirt World on Real Racing USA.
It is past time, Jack. Thank you so much. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Dirt World on RealRacingUSA.com. With Billy the Kid, I am Joe Dirt, and you are tuned in to our post-Speed Weeks program right here on Dirt World. Want you to be a part of the program at DirtWorldShow@Yahoo.com. Just give us an email, folks, on your Yahoo email, DirtWorldShow@Yahoo.com. Once again, we apologize for the delay due to technical difficulties. Our studio that we're operating out of this evening, not too conducive to our program. And, Billy, it's sure good to be in front of you. I was with you for 12 straight nights, but oddly enough, excited to be here with you tonight.
Well, I think I figured out our problem. I think our problem is we took our show on the road twice, and now we come back home and don't want to go.
I don't understand.
I think that's the problem. We have a big show lineup tonight. We have coming up first thing first, Brett Hearn. Saturday night's winner of the big block, king of the big blocks, Brett Hearn. Also, too, afterwards, we'll have Pat Ward, who was the first two nights the big block winner and also was your Dirt Car Nationals big block champion.
So, Pat Ward, of course, coming out of Genoa, New York, drives the number 42, the Gypsum Express-sponsored machine, and Gypsum Wholesalers out of upstate New York sponsors so many different race cars, and we'll talk about their involvement, but a great relationship, obviously. Interesting, Pat Ward never has won in Florida. And he's been coming down and making this pilgrimage to the Sunshine State for the February event at Volusia. Finally picked up his first win on the opener that night, and he followed that up with yet another win consecutively. And, of course, like you mentioned, we'll talk to Brett Hearn out of Sussex, New Jersey. Drives the Wentworth Construction, number 24. So the Jet, he was kind of worrying all of us. He waited till the last night to pick up his Dirt Car Nationals win.
It's very unusual to come to Dirt Car Nationals or to Winter Nationals at Volusia Speedway Park and not see Brett Hearn in victory lane, and for him to wait till the last night, I know it had a few people on the edge.
Yeah, it did. Yes, it did.
But Dirt Car Nationals was over Saturday night, 12 straight nights of nothing but great racing, and then you want to catch up on some of the shots, get a hold of Dave Shank Photography.
Definitely.
He's got a lot of nice shots left over, and that's a free commercial for our buddy.
That's right. It's DaveShankPhoto.com. That's S-H-A-N-K. Photo.com, DaveShankPhoto.com. I don't know about you, man, but I still haven't caught up on my sleep.
You can't catch up on your sleep.
Serious. I'm on the backside of this cold that set in the day after the Dirt Car Nationals.
I know we were talking. I was talking to Corey Reed today, and he was sick. And you notice what happened was all these people came to town from Charlotte.
Sure.
They brought this flu with them, and they left it with us.
True. That's how that happens.
You know, they were all sick the last night, and then they won't leave it with the natives.
And we're cooped up in these rooms and these towers and these different offices with them. For 12 days and nights, and I'm surprised we're not in worse shape. But I'm on the back end of mine, feeling a lot better today. But, man, I tell you, it's getting more difficult every year to put in these 12, sometimes 13 nights. It really is.
You know, to be honest with you, I thought this year was the easiest.
It was wonderful.
It was easy for me because I didn't have to work hard and, you know, I had to flag for 12 nights. And, you know, I had it kind of, well, I didn't really have it kind of easy, but I had it kind of.
It should have been easy for you. Yes, you did. Yes, you did, and that's fine.
I put on 7 pounds. Don't tell
me. Did you really? Yeah. I see you come up there with ribs. I say, where'd you get them? Well, we cooked them in the infield.
Ribs.
You know, ribs.
I had ribs. I had kettle corn every night.
Yeah,
two boxes of cookies every night.
Oh, yeah.
I was knocking them down like Sonny Taylor style.
Yes, sir, Sonny Taylor style. Joe called them effing street stock.
Yeah.
But that's one part of it, man, that you really enjoy. You know, all the different vendors. You know, the great food that's out there, and, you know, of course, the racing is first and foremost, but, man, it's almost a carnival atmosphere, it really is.
I think probably out of all my Dirt Car Nationals and my Winter Nationals, this was probably one of the best I've seen out there in Volusia. Even though the late model car count was a little down, we've seen them over 100, and with the start out the very first night with 80 UMP mods, and just grow from there. And, you know, I think even though you saw Jared Landers win four times, Donnie Schatz win four times, and you know, I still think it didn't get boring. I think it was still good. The times that Landers won, he started, you know, back in the pack a little further. So it made it good. And to see Austin Dillon go to victory lane for the first time was good for me, because watching the kid grow up there and race. And
yep.
Then the show we did from there was awesome. You know,
it was.
With the Wednesday before from Ocala, it was really a great thing. You know,
it's been a wonderful 3 weeks or so. And, you know, you're talking about the champions, of course, Pat Ward, and, of course, Brett Hearn. We'll talk to him in just a few minutes. But Darrell Lanigan, who you guys had on trackside on Monday night, actually, of course, following up the World of Outlaws National Championship in the late models, he was the dirt car national champion in his late model, and he did that and didn't win a race.
Yeah, Darrell Lanigan.
Just like he did back in 2008. He only won one race, was it, to get the World of Outlaws late model championship.
Darrell Lanigan, he really surprised me a lot this Winter Nationals or Dirt Car Nationals. He seemed like he was on top of his game. But I tell you who I was really impressed with, it was Rick Eckert.
Definitely.
I was pretty impressed with Rick Eckert and the run he had during that week. And, you know, you sat back and watched. And I mean, I was, don't get me wrong, I was kind of glad to see Josh Richards win the opener. You know, he won two nights in a row, but I was really glad to see him not win the last night.
And ran up front every night.
You get kind of boring if you have the same guys, but I was kind of shocked with Bloomer's performance, even though he started in the back most of the time and worked his way up to the top 10. But, you know, as far as some of the other things, I think, you know, it was kind of crazy. Jim McDermott never made a show.
Oh, that's right.
Steve
never
Arpin,
made a feature.
Steve Arpin made it one time.
He was terrible. Yeah,
you know,
yeah. Talk about some of the local guys in the modifieds.
Now,
you know, Jason Davis struggled. Charlie McNichol, Rick Scott, these guys really struggled. Jerry Morgan got into a one of the race cars coming to us from out of state, but they really represented well, but I think they now realize just how difficult it is.
I'll tell you one thing that, and to be honest, it don't really matter what they take from this, but I'm a little upset at the local contingency for the local.
Well, we didn't have much of a local contingency.
Instead of showing up the first couple nights and supporting this deal,
they
which I don't blame
weekend.
Them, yeah, and that kind of hurt, because only one guy was locked into the Gator. And if some of these guys raced through the way they've done it, you know, they took the top 16 out the B main, Joe.
That's right, I know.
If you were locked into that B main, you was pretty much into the show.
Sure.
Only four guys didn't make it, and one broke on the first lap.
First shot at $5,000.
I heard Sam Driggers say at one of the drivers' meeting that he was kind of shocked that none of the local guys had showed up yet. You know, and do I kind of blame him? I don't really blame him. You know, you can get around that place. Jamie Carter, who finished second at McNichol in the points championship, he gets around the place for a while. I thought Perkins got around there, and I thought the deal with that was Johnny Collins was going to drive that car a couple nights. And, you know, I just, when you put up $5,000 to win a mod race at your home track and none of your home guys show up, there's something wrong there.
I hear you.
The Smitty brothers was the most supportive.
Just about every night.
Yeah.
Certainly the second week. Just about every night.
I know McNichol would have done better if he had his own car. But, you know, to see that and see Rick Scott come out a couple nights.
Hey, Jeff Matthews stood me up a couple of times.
Yeah.
I mean, literally made me stand up and take notice. I mean, he did a great job the couple of nights he ran.
Yeah, and I was really surprised, or not really surprised, but really pleased with Wayne Hammond's run, too. But
definitely.
What happened was, if you didn't go to Dirt Car Nationals this year, we didn't have anything in the infield over 9'6". Everything was down by the pond, and a lot of guys started out on the edge because, let's face it, they got stuck down there. A lot of guys got stuck in the soft sand from, you know, soft dirt from the rain on that Monday or Sunday. Monday we had rain, and you know, it kind of sets the tone down. But we had somewhere around 70, 80 cars down by the pond, and it worked out well. And a lot of compliments in the grandstand about the infield, being able to see the whole back straightaway, and to see the whole racetrack, and I think that makes a world of difference.
It's a good deal that everybody understood it. While we're talking about local drivers, we must talk about local late model drivers. Tyler Ivey, what a run. I interviewed him down after he won a He race, and I simply said, Tyler, you have proven all week long that you deserve to be amongst the best late model drivers on the planet. And then he really did, man. He made these shows. He ran towards the front. Tyler Ivey, I just can't believe, after this very successful run during the Dirt Car Nationals in the Super, he's actually going back with the National Late Model Series.
Actually, he told me he's not going to run a whole lot of late model series, National Late Model deal. He's going to try to run mostly Brunswick, and he said he's going to try to run a lot with the United Dirt Model Challenge Series.
Well, good.
I talked to him on Monday and asked him, was he going to Screven this week, which is where the National Late Models are. He told me no, he wasn't going.
Oh, really?
We'll see how that pans out. But, you know, Tyler Ivey did have a great run. A little down on Ivey a little bit. He didn't make as many shows as I thought he could make. But when you get 60 of the best there, you know, it's hard to make the shows. And And you can't really, don't get me wrong, they're still my heroes. But
absolutely. A lot of it's the draw, Billy.
Yeah.
When you ask any of these guys, man, it's so difficult to fight your way up through there if you draw a high number.
When you see Bloomer in a B main every night,
yeah,
that tells you what kind of class. I mean,
that's
Pearson
right.
wins one night, don't make the show the next.
That's exactly right.
So
Darren Miller won the first night. He didn't make the show the next night.
Right. But, you know, we had an awesome time with the modifieds and with the sprint cars. I mean, Donnie Schatz was unbelievable on the sprints. I was pretty shocked, or not really shocked, but surprised with Stevie Smith. I'm glad to see him run the way he did.
Driving the Zemco Headers machine now for 2009.
It was mentioned during the Dirt Car National, and I'm sure everybody heard about this already. His sister was brutally murdered on the side of the interstate on 95 going north after the PRI show. That week, somebody murdered her, pulled over the side of the road and shot her. And they announced at their car announcements that it was a murder that her husband or ex-husband or whatever it was had put together, and I was sorry to hear that. But Stevie Smith had an unbelievable Dirt Car Nationals. Of course, Donnie shot one, 4 out of 6 races. And, you know, Joey Saldana got the other win, and Stevie Smith got the win after, one of the other wins. But glad it's over. Had a great time. Had a great Dirt Car Nationals, but now we got to move on.
We do have to move on. We opened the season at Volusia Speedway Park on March 14th, and while we're talking about dirt, the two-wheel style invades on March 7th. That, of course, is the AMA.
I heard it's March the 1st.
March 1st?
Yeah.
Is that a Saturday?
I don't know. You start racing the 6th, the week.
14th.
No, you start racing the first weekend in March.
March 7th, we start racing.
Yeah, the first weekend, March 1st, I believe, is the...
AMA Iron Horse Hot Shoe Series. These are the AMA Pro Motorcycles.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. One date there. So March 1st. Okay. But check
either way, next Friday night, Ocala Speedway, United Oklahoma Challenge Series kicks off for the 2009 series, and it'll be huge next Friday
night. That's going to be huge.
And we'll do a free plug for Phil Liz the very next night at Lake City, North Florida Speedway. The late models will run for 2000 to win.
Good deal.
So that'll be
That's their in-house late model.
Yeah, this is the Turkey Trot that got rained out.
They're
having the rerun from the rain out to be the 28th of February.
Good deal. And that, of course, is their lid lifter as well for 2009.
Yes, it is.
All right, man. Good deal. But, man, you know, Ocala Winter Nationals successful. East Bay Raceway Park Winter Nationals was successful. Golden Isles, the Super Bowl of Motorsports. What can you say? And, of course, Volusia. Man, it has been an amazing winter thus far.
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, I thought that everything was good. We didn't get to go to East Bay, but Ocala I enjoyed a lot. And Volusia was really great, you know, for both of us and for the fans' perspective. You know, one of the best crowds I've seen there on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday nights of the late model show. The first two nights for the sprint cars was a little struggle, but...
20 degrees outside.
Yeah, it was a little different.
Whew. Yes, it was. And it took us, the announcing team, I think a couple of nights to get our swerve on, but we finally got it. And, buddy, it was great from then on out, so...
Right.
I'm very happy with the performance, you and them safety guys. Man, what a job you did, overseeing all that. The announcers were wonderful. Everybody stepped up, and I think Tom Deary said it best in one of the meetings. He said, look, if you're an employee of this racetrack or an employee of World Racing Group, and you're involved with the Dirt Car Nationals on this property, and if you're not happy with your performance, then there's something wrong with you.
Right. You know, like I said, it was probably one of the best Dirt Car Nationals I've been a part of, and I think they continue to grow, and even though I'm stepping aside from the place, I think that I look forward to next year, and I'm sure that when next year comes around, they'll find something for me to do, whether it be put cheese on the burgers in the concession stand or get you some coffee, because I saw you had your own coffee maker. But
hey, that was a great deal right there.
Yeah.
That got me through.
You know, to say, Joe, there's no more you can say about it.
I know.
It's great. It's over. You know, we move on now. We start a new season, and there's a couple of things that you look forward to, and we put it behind us.
That's exactly right. Our first break behind us here tonight. And when we come back, as promised, the driver out of Sussex, New Jersey, you call him the Jet, it's Brett Hearn when we return on Dirt World.
matter what, get out and see some dirt racing. Get some dirt on your face.
Get some dirt on your dog.
Yeah, dirt on your dog.
Absolutely. With Billy the Kid, my name is Joe Dirt. Dirt World on RealRacingUSA.com.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
You've given us the real American dream. A tray, 15 feet of food, and a little sign that says, "Go nuts, buddy."
Pinch me, I'm dreaming.
Pushing side dish innovation to its limits, you offer creamed everything and 400 flavors of gelatin.
Feed it frenzy.
If there's beef, you'll chip it. If there's chicken, you'll fry it. And if there's gravy, well, then everything's going to be okay.
Thank God for the gravy.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, buffet boy. You know the way to a man's heart and a few hundred tasty ways to challenge it.
Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, Fort Collins, Colorado.
This is Showtime, Sean Smith, and you're listening to The Dirt World with Joe Dirt and Billy the Kid. Billy, will you put some dirt on my dog?
It's time to get back to the action. Joe Dirt, Billy the Kid. Take it away, guys.
Thanks, Jack. Welcome back to Dirt World on RealRacingUSA.com. We're glad everybody's with us. Don't forget, folks, you can be a part of the program on your Yahoo email. It's dirtworldshow@yahoo.com. If you've got a question or comment, perhaps for one of our guests here tonight, gladly we'll certainly answer those. dirtworldshow@yahoo.com. With Billy the Kid, I am Joe Dirt. This is our post-Speed Weeks program. Once again, we... thank everybody on board listening tonight. We apologize for the delay, technical difficulties, but we think we got them hammered out. And as promised, right now, on the line from Sussex, New Jersey, driver of the number 20 Wentworth Construction Big Block Modified, the Jet, Brett Hearn. Brett, how are you, sir?
Well, we're doing pretty good. Kind of wish we still were in Florida, but it's not the real world for us.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Well, you know, and that's the first thing I was going to mention, Brett. You come down, you work on that tan, dude, and bring it back up to the Garden State. And what is the weather like up there right now?
It's pretty much normal. Raining, snowing, a little bit windy, cold, par for the course.
No doubt, no doubt. What is your schedule now? Obviously, after your final night, did you guys roll back to New Jersey, started thrashing on the race car, and it's pretty much status quo, business as usual, getting ready for the season.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, we used that Volusia run as a kind of a test and tune and kind of a measuring stick to see where we're at for the season. And based on our finish on that last night, that really raised our expectations tremendously. I think we had a pretty good car all week. We just missed on tire selection a couple nights, and we came back and got it straightened out there for the last night, which was the important night.
That's how important tires are. There's no doubt they certainly win races. And Brett, you know, it's so unique that the big blocks have made this pilgrimage for so many years to the Gator Country down to Florida. How much prestige when you succeed in Florida at Barberville do you bring back up to the Northeast? And does it really help, you know, throughout the 2000 or the upcoming season, you know, to start well in Florida? Is that indeed a good measuring stick for your performance throughout the year?
Well, you know, it's a really, really long season, and what happens in February doesn't necessarily translate into August, but it sure gives you a jump start on the spring. And, you know, my guys look forward to it so much every year to get ready a little bit early and make that run down there. It's a great show. Four nights in a row for us is a lot of fun, and it does serve a purpose.
You know, Brett, I think like we were talking about, and I think Saturday night stepping up and picking up the victory, I think you had a lot of people on the edge, not knowing if the Jet was going to pick one up this season. But like I told a couple people Saturday evening before the races got started, it ain't over till it's over. Tonight's the last night. I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see the Jet in victory lane, and there you were. How many years in a row has it that you've won a race here at Volusia Speedway Park?
Well, we came back and started to run the show at Volusia in 98, I think. And I hadn't run down there with a dirt car, except for 93 we did an exhibition when the dirt track was actually over on the other side.
Right, right.
When the half mile stayed for a while. So, really, we started in 98, and I think I've only missed one year that I haven't come across with at least one win. So, it's been a pretty good stretch for us.
Brett, you've got Wentworth Construction on board. I mean, you're so synonymous with the Budweiser car in about 10 of those years. And now, of course, Wentworth on board, Madsen Overhead Doors. This is a great relationship you've developed with this race team, Kruger on board and everything.
Yeah, well, we have. Things have changed a little bit, and things, things always change. So we've kind of bent with the way things have gone, and I sold majority ownership in the team to Madsen Motorsports, and we still run the team out of my shop. It's business as usual here in Sussex, but the economics are a little bit different, and it takes a lot of pressure off me financially to have that ownership. And then, of course, then we had the sponsorship from Wentworth and Kruger, WLR. This year we added Benjamin Moore Paints to the paint scheme.
So it's
part of the deal. You got to have the business end sewed up before you can be, in the competition. So
right.
It's a big puzzle that you have to put all the pieces together to make it work.
You talked about tires and how important they were this year. How was the track condition compared to years before? Everybody was talking about they thought the track condition this year was the best it's been in a long time. Could you touch on that with us a little bit?
Well, every year we go down there and it's a new deal.
Yeah.
And this year was no different. Last year was a little bit on the rough side. We didn't have to use hard tires at all. We had a large cushion most nights, and it was a different kind of race. Now, this year we come back, and the track was really smooth. They had a different system. They cut the track every night at intermission. That changed things for us a little bit. But all in all, I mean, the track was unbelievable, and it's incredibly fast. I mean, it amazes me how every year we go down there to be competitive, you got to be on the gas just that little bit harder. And we're going now to the point now where we've got these cars where we can run into the corners wide open. And you basically most times just breathe in the center a little bit. And that's the point that we've gotten to. And that's, you're talking about an 800-plus four-star big block running flat to the floor around a half mile. That's pretty quick.
And it showed this year. I noticed that. I mean, because certainly we're watching you guys, and we're fans because, quite frankly, it's the only time we get to watch you guys perform. And I tell you, really keep an eye on all the cars. And you're right. I mean, some of the neat aspects of one of these cars, the characteristics, of course, the shock packages. I mean, certainly you're going to look at that way different than I am as a spectator, but the way them things just kind of duck and tuck and dive and roll into the turns. But you're right, I saw less of that, and I saw more, I think, good bite, on the right rear. I saw a lot of
left front tires off the ground this year on the big blocks that I haven't seen in a long time. But I tell you, Pat Ward won the first two nights, and they did that autograph session, and he came up in the tower the second night he won, and had him in the tower for the whole late model race. And I said, what's different this year than last year? And he told me he had his Syracuse motor in. So I guess
right.
That makes a little bit different. The Syracuse motor would be like a little better motor. Is that what the key is?
That is your, in our realm of racing, if somebody says they had their Syracuse engine in, that means that's the best one they got.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's what I figured.
And with that being said, the only time you ever really need the best one you got is when you get it, when you're getting all the traction to the track, and when the track's in the kind of condition that it could take that.
Right.
And these cars keep evolving. I mean, every year the shocks get better, and the the suspensions get fine-tuned a little bit better, and the chassis get a little bit better, and that's what it's all about. I mean, that's why we do it, because we always strive to get better. And it's funny because you guys are not the only ones that said, "Man, you guys are flying this year."
Mm-hmm.
So it must have been pretty obvious to the spectators watching the races that the speeds were definitely up.
The racing this year for you guys was unbelievable. I mean, you watch you guys, and I've flagged there for 5-6 years. I mean, I've flagged when you've won, and I flagged when the big blocks run 30 laps on top of the racetrack, no caution. Somebody started eighth and won the race, but you have no caution as you get around there, and everybody says, the racetrack's too fast. The racetrack's too fast. But you know what? I still saw guys passing.
Yeah.
It's too fast, you can't pass. But like I said, this is the first time in a long time that I've seen these cars come off of turn four and the left front wheel be off the ground like the late models or like the little mods. And, I mean, I'll be honest with you, Billy Decker was hauling the mail Saturday night. But I think his tires must have went away or something happened. But, I think Brett the Jet decided he needed to go and win that thing.
Well, anytime Billy Decker's lucky enough to start on the front row, that's a pretty tough scenario for anybody to try to get
in. Yes, it is.
Brett, obviously we're happy with the Alltel's involvement at Volusia Speedway Park, their second year of sponsoring the Dirt Car Nationals. And as you're fully aware, you were a candidate last year as well. You are an Alltel All-Star. And this gives fans an opportunity to vote for you after winning one of the nights out at Volusia. You are indeed an Alltel All-Star, and this gives you an opportunity to pick up $10,000. Now, you have already been asked in front of all the people there at Volusia Speedway Park why you should be the Alltel All-Star, why they should vote for you. But tell our listeners on Dirt World, Brett, why you should be the Alltel All-Star. And Alltel's not paying for this at all.
Yeah, right. Well, first of all, we really appreciate their involvement, because it really lends a level of professionalism to the whole series of races that we run down there, and to our division in particular. And I think I said in victory lane, I owe my team all the gratitude, and maybe the vote should be for everyone involved, not just Brett Hearn, but for his team as well, for the perseverance that they showed during the week, the hard work that they put in all week long to get better and better until we got to the big show on Saturday night.
There you go. And, Brett, finally here tonight, I know your time is important, but a question that I've always pondered, why don't we see the big blocks further south on a regular basis? I know, expense-wise, it's very difficult. Obviously, these cars they're up there in cost to run, but, it's just unfortunate for us that we only get to see it for like 3, maybe 4 events in the winter. What has stopped the big blocks from just spreading out throughout the entire country?
You know, that's a good question. I mean, we've really always been a Northeast division, and I think the popularity of the what you call the little modifieds or the UMP modifieds, the IMCA modifieds, I think their popularity and just in sheer numbers has made them more popular in other parts of the country. And maybe because it's more economical type of modified, I don't know, but they're getting a lot of play too, and they're actually getting a lot better too. I mean, their race I watched this week was really entertaining.
Oh yeah,
and with less yellows than I've ever seen before. So, they're raising their level of competition as well, and it's pretty interesting to see how that's evolved also. But, I don't know. I mean, the fact that we run down at Volusia gives us exposure to a lot of people who have either, come originally from the Northeast and moved down that way, or have never seen our kind of racing before.
Right.
But we get a lot of really nice comments from people who say, I've never seen these cars before, but, man, these things are really neat.
They are. And one thing that I noticed, when you guys rolled in for your first night of practice, and I was talking to Shane Andrews, who's so involved with you guys up in the tower. The fact that you pay such attention to detail cosmetically on these race cars, and Shane said, well, they really do. I mean, and that's one part of the whole package here with these cars is how well they can look. Certainly they have to run well. But he said, Joe, you also have to remember, they've not been on a racetrack, all winter long, and they're going to look good. But I disagreed with him because on night number 4, beginning of the feature, all these cars just looked beautiful, man. So that's something that's always been interesting to me, is the fact that you guys really cosmetically keep these cars looking good. Is it like that throughout the season up in the north as well?
Well, the cars, they get banged up by the middle of summer pretty good, but I think all in all, I think it's part of the deal. Guys are all working hard on their race cars and their race teams, and part of it is keeping the stuff looking nice and keeping it well maintained. Because, really, honestly, that's the only way that you're going to be competitive in the long haul.
One thing I noticed about the cars this year that I didn't notice the previous years was around the tail section of the car, down around the lower section of the rear wheel and around the quarter panel, it was a little bit lower this year. It looked like you guys are running some kind of skirting along the bottom of the rear.
Well, the last couple of years, they've kind of let us get into, you know, using the plastic on the bottom of the cars, similar to what the late models do, and it's given the cars a little bit different appearance. We can run them a little bit lower without tearing the bodies off on the bottom. And, you know, probably to someone who's only seen the cars or only sees the cars once a year, they probably look like they're a little lower, a little sleeker than they were before. And that's really just because they've kind of, you know, loosened up the rules a little bit to let us do that.
And last thing before you go, we've been trying to get a hold of you for a couple months to have you on the show, but we weren't able to catch up with you at Dirt Car Nationals except for in Victory Lane, and we wanted you to cut us a commercial. So before you go, would you say you're listening to Dirt World on RealRacingUSA.com and something like, this is Brett the Jet Hearn? Come on, Hoopty.
Yeah, one more. Say that one
more. Hey, if not, I'm going to call you right back, and I know what's going to happen. The phone's going to ring and ring and ring.
You might have to send me an email. Let me read that.
I'll send you an email last month. We wanted to get you on before Dirt Car Nationals, but we talked to Corey Reed, and he said that everybody was busy trying to get their stuff together to come down here. But, Brett the Jet, we want to say thanks for spending some time with us tonight, man, and congratulations on your big win Saturday night, Volusia. We look forward to seeing you for the 2010 Dirt Car Nationals.
Well, you know, it feels great. And from a team standpoint, winning one, or especially winning the big one down there, really changes your outlook a whole bunch, and that's how meaningful it is to us.
Brett, what a pleasure to have you on Dirt World, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you guys very much.
All right, buddy. See you.
Take care.
Brett Hearn out of Sussex, New Jersey, driver of the Wentworth Construction, the Madsen Motorsports, number 20, big block modified in the Advanced Auto Parts Super Dirt Car Series big blocks. Billy, you didn't press him on it. That's
I tried to get him to do a commercial, and we'll just call him back. I mean, we've been calling and trying to get in touch with him.
I'll tell you what, Jack, when we step back.
Before we go to break, Denise Straley emailed us. Want to say happy birthday to Randy Straley. Tomorrow's his birthday.
Oh, nice.
He'll be 42.
That's all?
Yeah.
Wow.
I got shoes older than Randy Straley. Just don't tell him that.
Randy's the man. Randy and Dalton, they ran around out there the entire Dirt Car Nationals. And Denise, man, I said it on a message board. Dude, she covered more area of that racetrack than anybody selling them 50-50 tickets. So she learned a lot about Volusia.
The whole staff done good. Lenny out of Gainesville sent us an email and said everybody done good except for the announcer, some announcer named Linebacker or something. All he did was ramble on about the late models or something.
Wow. How could he do
that? He said he
like
just
that.
Now checked his voicemail, and he got a voicemail from Tom Deary, which was you on February 2nd. And
who did he get
me
that?
And you, he just now got it.
He just got it?
Yeah, he's all upset about it. And well, you know, Lenny's excited. We're getting ready to start in 2 weeks at Ocala Speedway. He's going to be a part of the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series with us, and he's also going to go with me to Henry County. I look forward to that. And Lenny was a big part of Putnam County Speedway with us. He was a big help with us, and I look forward to working with him. He's been my friend for over 30 years, and we work well together.
He just needs to chill out on them text messages. Good Lord.
He said, I'd be working, Billy. He sits in the grandstands and wants to know what's taking so long. He said, what are you doing? And he wanted to know why they're grooming the track for late models and why they didn't groom it for the sprint car guys. You know, that's one thing that me and Lenny have to sit down and talk about, track prep. And he got to stay out of that mix.
Get him straight on that.
I mean, he's too busy worried about sprint cars. And
I'm down there doing pit road interviews. I mean, I really enjoyed doing that this year. And I would do one, and he would email me, text message me something, and critique him, you know. So the bottom line is, Lenny, you were listening.
Hey, he's picking on you.
I know.
Here's the problem. He might be the announcer for United Dirt Late Model Challengers.
That would be a problem.
He might be learning from you.
Yeah, that would be.
Oh, hell, I can't have that.
I wouldn't teach him a damn
thing. I'm just kidding. But after the break, we'll have Pat Ward, 2009. Dirt Car National big block. I want to say UMP. Dirt Car National champion.
Hey,
right after this.
Advanced Auto Parts Super Dirt Car Series. We'll be right back.
Either way.
Burn. With rowdy reputation. passion, learning lessons of the heart, a recent revelation, I found a place to start. Dixie Highway, can you hear me?
Time to get back to the action with Joe Dirt, Billy the Kid. This is Dirt World. All right, we're back at it here with Joe Dirt and Billy the Kid on Real Racing USA.
Thank you, Jack, and always a pleasure. Thank you, everybody, that's listening on RealRacingUSA.com. Don't forget, folks, we want you to be a part of the program tonight, and you can simply do that on your Yahoo email by emailing us at DirtWorldShow@Yahoo.com. If you've got a question or comment for one of our guests or a question for us, or just let us know what you're doing this weekend in the world of dirt racing, it's DirtWorldShow@Yahoo.com. And I'm going to tell you right now, he can hear this thing messaging, and I'm going to kill him. Lenny, that's your buddy. I'm going to turn it off. But as promised, we're on the line right now with us, making his way out of Genoa, New York, ending a seven-year dry spell, traveling down to the Gator Country each and every year. He's actually not too far from our producer, Jack Smith. He's over in Hudson, Florida right now, and you can imagine this dude don't want to go home with us right now, the driver of the Gypsum Express. Gypsum Wholesaler, sponsor number 42. Sorry about that. I wasn't looking. Pat Ward. Pat, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing tonight?
We are wonderful, dude. I mean, you got to be riding high. You didn't just end the dry spell, but you followed it up the next night with yet another victory. What a run, man. What was different this year, Pat?
I think a lot of it was just the luck of the draw and getting in through the heats and getting the redraw. A lot of years when I come down here, I'm not very good at drawing, and we start in the back of them heats. And Brett and them guys get the lucky draw usually, and once you get them guys out front, they're gone. So it was our turn this year, I guess.
And, Pat, that's a big part of it. I mean, certainly performance, tire selection, everything very important at the big half mile there at Volusia, but the luck of the draw. I mean, it's so important to draw a good number, you know, where you're starting out there in your heat race. And you're right. I mean, it was simply your turn. Talked to Brett Hearn just a few moments ago. He said tires were also a big issue for him, keeping him from victory lane several times until, of course, the final night. But, you know, so many drivers were talking about how fast this racetrack was. Some of the late model guys actually were complaining it's too fast. I've never heard of such a thing.
That track was the fastest I've ever seen it. Fortunately for us, we came down with our Syracuse motor, which is a high horsepower piece that we got. So I was a little nervous we were coming down with too much power to hook up to the track, because in past years it's been so kind of a dry, slippery deal, especially later in the night. But this year, right rear up on the cushion and pedal right to the metal. And you had to keep your car freed up, pick the right tire, which I think we probably confused some guys the first night we went out there, and we put on one of our hard tires, and we ran away with that race pretty good. And then the second night, we did just the opposite with a soft tire, because we thought the surface was getting a little shinier and slipperier and didn't cause so much heat. And then we went ahead and won that night, and not only was everybody else confused, but I didn't know what to do the next night either. So, but, yeah, that track, I mean, it was fun. You had to have a very free car, and, man, that was the fastest I've ever seen this place.
You know, I sat next to you in the tower Thursday night after your second win. We watched the Southern watched the late model race together, and, you know, we were sitting there, and you could tell that you had two wonderful nights at the racetrack, and the third, like you said, it's all about the draw. The third night seemed to have a bad draw, but you seemed to come up through the pack pretty good and got trapped up behind a couple guys and got involved in a couple incidents. But, you know, you talked about track position. I don't think people understand that the track position there, especially for this time of year, is critical. What would it be like if they allowed you guys to qualify like they did the late models?
It might be kind of boring, but I mean, the last night we ran there, all the top guys were in the top six, I thought. We had Andy and Brett and Billy, and that was good race, and that's pretty much what you would have seen every night if we'd had time trials, because that's probably where we would have all been starting every night. And, boy, like you said, that third night, I drew a last row heat race, and not only did I draw a last row, I drew probably there was 10 really, really good cars there, and I think 9 of them were in my heat. So that really put us behind, and then you're back there racing, and everybody's zigging and zagging, and you get caught up and stuff, and that just was a tough night for us there.
Pat, Gypsum Wholesalers, Gypsum Express, sponsors so many cars we see, certainly in the late model deal with Billy Decker, Tim Fuller, a couple of modifieds. Talk about the relationship you have with them, and maybe explain to some of the people that only get to see you guys in February that aren't real familiar with that. That's quite a big sponsorship that you carry with you throughout the Northeast throughout the regular season.
Yeah, it sure is. John, Lohr, and Larry White, the owners of them two businesses, Gypsum Express, which is one of the biggest trucking companies in the country, and then this wholesaler business is a building supply company, which is pretty good, pretty big too. Fortunately for me, John enjoys racing a lot, and I got one of the first guys I got hooked up with him, and we're pretty lucky to have him on board. He does help a lot of people, and there's a lot of people behind the scenes he helps that a lot of people don't even know about, so we're just really lucky to be involved with that group. That's all top-notch drivers that I'm in with. He's very successful at everything he does, so I knew when he gave me that ride in end of 2000, I was probably in for a good long journey there.
That's awesome, man. And Pat, also, I mean, you qualify twice for the Alltel All-Star We appreciate Alltel's involvement for the second full season for the Dirt Car Nationals. Of course, you had an opportunity to tell the people on Dirt Vision, as well as the people in attendance at Volusia Speedway Park, why you feel they should vote for you for the Alltel All-Star, giving you an opportunity at $10,000. However, several drivers in the modifieds and late models, so familiar with Timmy McCready. You, of course, you know these Tim and Bob, you know, being from up there. You guys have raced together, and I'm certain that you're close in the racing community. So many of these guys are willing to donate that Alltel All-Star money right to Timmy. I mean, you got to – that is just a stand-up act right there.
It sure is. I grew up racing with Bob, and Tim, when he was a little kid, was always running around, and that was just a tough break. His father's been through the same bad problems, but now Timmy had that bad deal. I guess it was in the Chili Bowl.
Yeah.
And I know I'm hoping everything turns out well, and I'm certain a lot of donations will be coming his way. I mean, he's a great guy. And we all want him back out there because he can put on a show for everybody.
Boy, that is for sure. And likewise, you did too. Pat Ward, once again, congratulations on the two wins at Volusia Speedway Park. And, of course, let's not forget, you are the 2009 Advance Auto Parts Big Block Modified Florida Dirt Car Nationals Champion. Man, that lets you bring something home when you finally make it back up to New York. That lets you bring home quite a trophy, man.
Yeah, that's a good feeling. We actually won it back in 2004, and the last night rained out. I think we were 2 or 3 points ahead of Brett, and
kind of
left an empty feeling when we didn't get to do the shootout for the last night because of the rain. But and it almost looked like it was going to happen again this year. But fortunately, we got to race for it and come out on top, so it's even a better feeling this time.
No doubt. Pat, what are you going to do before you leave Friday? You just chilling out at Hudson, man? You got anything planned?
No, we're just enjoying spending some time with my girlfriend's family and working on the old motorhome, hoping we can get her back up north. I talked to some friends up there today, and it's been snowing really hard. So fortunately, we missed that snowstorm, and hopefully it'll be almost over when we get home.
No doubt. And Pat Ward, where's your first race when spring hits up in the Northeast? Where are you going first?
I don't know if we'll hit some of them early Hagerstown deals, but I know we'll be at Stealings Grove for that opener they had last year, and we enjoyed that. So if it's not Hagerstown, we'll be at Stealings Grove for their opener.
Good deal. Pat Ward out of Genoa, New York, the 2009 Dirt Car Nationals champion with two victories. Driver of the Gypsum Express, Gypsum Wholesalers, number 42. Thank you very much for being with us tonight, Pat.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot.
Okay, buddy. See you soon. Pat Ward, everybody.
All right. Bye-bye.
See you. Now, you know what I'm going to say, man. You know, I know that's not the email.
No, not a
phone. No, dude. It's you and Lenny.
Well, I'm not talking to Lenny. I'm trying to mess with my phone, man.
All right.
We're using it to get emails. We got emails from a few people, but...
Well, let's thank them.
Jackson, yeah, we already did. We said happy birthday to Randy Straley. We don't have very many listeners tonight. Everybody took the night off. We didn't get to send hello to everybody.
And that's all right.
We didn't say coming live to you from Ocala or Volusia Speedway Park. So now,
no, we're not in a break. We're doing our program.
We're doing.
Thank you very much.
What do y'all care?
Yeah,
you guys are just babbling on.
Reading romance novels.
I mean, just babbling on.
The best one here is Billy's daughter. I mean, she's tiptoeing around. She's trying to be quiet. Y'all are over here painting your nails.
But hey guys, I'll give you some juicy.
Come on.
You want something juicy?
Oh, yes, we
do. You need to go to realracingusa.com to the Inside Florida section, Inside Florida Racing on Monday night. Listen to Ken Kenny's interview last night, about 35 minutes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Ken Doc talked about the series a little bit. He talked about the track a little bit, and he talked about politics for a little bit.
Mm. Nice.
That's all I'm going to say.
All right. We'll listen to that.
But, you know, talking to Pat Ward had a great Dirt Car Nationals, picked up the first two wins, and he was sitting in the tower next to me getting ready to do the autograph session the second night, and I said, you think you can go 3 for 3? And he said, I don't know, I guess we'll see what tomorrow brings. Well, the very next day brought Friday the 13th and didn't bring another victory for Pat Ward, but brought an upside-down A.J. Johnson. Alan
Johnson. Slideways, baby.
Yeah, upside down.
Sure did.
That was a pretty bad crash for him, but we lost him for Saturday night. He went home. But speaking of losses, last Friday night, the Asphalt Racing family lost the great 22-year-old Matt Hawkins, lost his life in an accidental shooting in Georgia. And just want to say my thoughts and prayers and yours too, you know, I'm sure, with to their family. Watched Matt race the last 2 years, at the last three years I've been to the Snowball Derby, and a great racer. And if you didn't know Matt Hawkins, he's one of only one driver to ever get in an ARCA car, win his first race in an ARCA car, and win his first race in a Hooters Pro Cup car.
Yep.
So he had a load of talent with him, and
quite a future ahead of him.
Yeah.
It's a waste. It's a loss.
It seems like about every other year we lose somebody involved in that deal. And a couple of years ago we lost Charlie Bradbury.
Yep.
And now this year we've lost Matt Hawkins. So I know this is a dirt show, and but the Snowball Derby is by far the best asphalt race that I go to once a year. And to lose Matt Hawkins is going to be a huge loss.
Terrible.
for that side of the industry.
What are you doing this weekend? Where are you going?
I'm going to take the weekend off.
Somebody's got to be breaking the ice somewhere. Come on.
Creighton Nationals is at East Bay this weekend, but then, like I said earlier, National 8-Mile Sportsman Series is at Screven, and Ocala's having open practice from 1 till 5 Saturday. Lake City's having practice as well, but no, I'm taking the weekend off. This will be my last weekend off before we hit the road for what could be a grueling season for me, so I'm going to do some family things this weekend.
Good for you. March 1st, Volusia Speedway Park, AMA Pro Motorcycle Racing. If you've not seen the transformation of this racetrack, not only during the Dirt Car Nationals, but it actually transforms yet again for two-wheel racing on the Super Half Mile. It is one leg off the bike the entire way around. It is AMA Pro Flat Track Racing at Volusia Speedway Park, and that comes to you on March 1st. So with that, thank you, everybody, for your patience here tonight as we took care of our technical difficulties. And, Billy, good to see you, man, in another setting, and, you know, other than that damn announcing tower.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, that was, like I said, I enjoyed my Dirt Car Nationals, and that was my last 12 days of work at Volusia for to me, could be a long time, I hope. I know other people probably hope different, but, yeah, I'm trying not to look back on this deal. Going to be full-fledged with the Ken Kenny situation and the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series and Ocala Speedway for sure. Mike Peters has given me the option to go back there on Friday nights as well, so I look forward to the season I have coming up, and I'm sure you do too at Volusia. There'll be a lot of good things going. I mean, we'll see each other throughout the year. We'll be there at least three times with the Late Model Series, but I'm excited, man. Talked to Jason Fitzgerald at the Dirt Car Nationals, and he said he's going to put his steel motor in and run with us a good bit, and talked to Billy Costello. They said they got themselves a new motor. They're ready to start racing. They're ready to go. They got their car wrapped. Bruce's sign's done it for them. They're ready to go. But talking to Tyler,
Run.
Tyler's
going
to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Tyler's going to run most of the series and run Brunswick deal. But
you got Daryl coming, Daryl Padgett.
Yeah, we got a lot of big name drivers signed up. John Kellum's going to run with us.
Speaking of wraps, look for the Dirt World wrap on a late model this season. Right, Bill?
Yeah.
Hey, would that be cool?
Yeah. That's
what do you think, Jack?
I think that's. I think that has to happen.
That will happen, and certainly for at least two of the majors. And we're thinking the Thompson Memorial, the Powell Memorial, and maybe if Billy will, you know, kind of wrangle together a topless race, we'll do one for that too.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. We'll, you know, we met another member to the family during Dirt Car Nationals. We met up with Kirk Shaw, and that's going to seem to be a good relationship with him and
Dirthead.com. And Billy, let's tell them what Dirthead is. I mean, you've heard of Fatheads, your favorite sports figures and motorsports drivers, on the wall of your house, your office, your shop, wherever, larger-than-life stick-ons. This is all dirt racing, and it's, of course, from the makers of New Vision Graphics, Larry Shaw, synonymous with modified and late model manufacturing out of Batesville, Arkansas. His son, Kirk, he's a savvy businessman. And Dirthead.com is going to be a great addition to Dirt World. So visit their website at dirthead.com, and they simply say, just stick it.
And the best thing about it is they'll do your car.
They sure
don't,
will.
You don't have to buy what they have there. If you want to have your car done, they'll do your car.
That's right.
And it's a great thing. It's something neat for the kids, and I think it'll be something to pick up pretty soon. And that's pretty interesting. We got a call from Larry Shaw the day after we had Kirk on the show. Larry Shaw wants to be a guest on our show, so we'll have him on in a couple of weeks. And
let's do that.
And I think that'll be good for everybody.
Absolutely.
A lot of Larry Shaw race cars around the state of Florida.
Yes, there are.
A lot
yes,
of great Larry Shaw modifieds for sure.
Yep. This has been a great program. We thank everybody involved. And, Jack, thank you for taking time out tonight and making this all happen from over on the left coast, and just want to thank you. Billy, thank you for welcoming me into your personal studio tonight. It's been fun.
No problem. Get out.
All right. Hey, if you, whatever you do this weekend, get some dirt on your dog.
Get some dirt on your face.
See you later.
Good night, everybody.